You're listening to OWW Radio,
the official radio show of OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com.
All right, so here we are, living it day by day. You are a superstar, and that's what she used to always say.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of OWW Radio. This is the official radio program of OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com. Each week, OWW Radio will bring perspective to the WWE, TNA, and everything else making news in the world of professional wrestling. My name is David, and this week I welcome Tyler Prattis, the founder and owner of the popular female wrestling magazine Ring Sirens. I look forward to talking about his magazine, the WWE Divas, Mae Young, and much more. It is my pleasure to welcome Tyler Prattis to OWW Radio.
Thank you.
How have you been, first of all?
Oh, not too bad. Lately I just came down with a small little cold flu, but I'm getting over it right now.
Yeah, I think it's going around. Everyone in my family's got it. It's been brutal. Where do you live, by the way?
Kitchener, Ontario, Canada. It's about an hour from Toronto.
Yeah, so you're used to cold winters, huh?
Oh, that's for sure, yeah. We've had... minus 20 Celsius weather up here lately.
Oh, my God. I'm in the Washington, D.C. area, and it is bone-chilling cold. I think it's why everyone here is getting sick.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Well, it's great having you on the show. I hope you feel better soon. And I wanted to have you on the show because you are the founder and owner of Ring Sirens magazine. It's a fantastic magazine that comes out once a month, correct?
That's correct, and thank you.
Yeah, and I wanted to ask you, when did you get started working on this magazine?
It was back in about April I started. It was probably about February, March that I decided to start women's wrestling website, and then I just decided and wanted to get into magazine because my cousin, he was in the music industry, and he was doing a magazine type of thing, and I'm like, there hasn't been any women's wrestling magazines out there, and it's more dedicated to WWE, TNA, that type of thing, and I wanted to deliver something different to women's wrestling and more towards indie women's wrestling.
You mentioned the website. Is that ringsirens.com?
That's correct, yep.
Okay, so you do the website, and you then publish the magazine once a month. Who else is on the staff with you, Tyler? Is it just yourself?
As for being, I'm the editor. I look after all operations, but I do have a staff, but it's mainly columnists and contributors.
Sure.
I do have about six people that help me out writing, and they also have their own websites and, you know, of sorts. Brian Kelly, he's the owner of Missouri Wrestling Revival. He helps me out. He does a couple columns on women's wrestling in the Missouri, you know, area down there. And I have Rick McLean. He's the owner of Northstars.ca. And that's more directed to Canadian women's wrestling. So he does stuff on Canadian wrestling. He just started helping me out actually this issue, the January issue, on Jasmine and Bia, who are both from Ontario, Canada. And we actually had the opportunity of filming their match for PWA, which is based out of Kitchener, Ontario here. So I do have... people that help me out, and then I have my Chris Sinclair. He helps me out every month. He does a My Thoughts On column, basically his thoughts on certain women's wrestlers like Mickey James, Paige, and actually coming up in February, he's doing a My Thoughts On Mae Young, which should be a good feature for that because she just passed away, and, you know, and then I have... I just acquired a new writer, Sierra Reed. She helps out for angrymarks.com. So she's going to be writing an indie column for me and a Joshi column, and it'll be our first Joshi column coming up in February. So yeah, I have a bunch of people that help me out, and Tony Sullivan, he does two or three articles on NXT and WWE, and
that's a pretty nice mix, a wide range of interest there.
Oh, for sure, and I'm still looking for writers and, you know, contributors that can help out wherever they can, and mainly I'm looking for maybe another a columnist to do something on TNA and ROH that have their odd, you know, women's wrestling matches on ROH TV sometimes, so I wouldn't mind getting a columnist for that too, so...
I always enjoy asking the guests on the program about how long were you a wrestling fan? Was this something that, you know, when you were a little kid, you fell in love with, or was this something that you discovered later on in your life?
I've actually been a fan since I'd probably say about 5-6 years old. Back in the Hulkamania days, you know, 87, 88, Ultimate Warrior, you know, Honky Tonk
yep.
Man, Rick Rude, all those guys. I was always a big fan, you know, Jake the Snake, and then Undertaker came out. Back in 93 when Razor Ramon, I was a huge Razor Ramon mark. you know, and even still to this day at Scott Hall, you know, some of the things that he's done in his past, you know, everybody goes through their ups and downs, but it's nice to see that, you know, Scott Hall going through rehab and DDP helping him out, and he's actually been clean since. So, you know, I've always stayed true to certain wrestlers that I've, you know, grown up with back in the 80s and 90s. I was born in 83, so most of my era started around 88 to, you know, to the Attitude Era. And I've been a wrestling fan since then, but I also, when I was 14, I actually got into professional wrestling training, being the youngest around this area to get into it at that age. And then I started being a professional wrestler when after training, I decided not to get right into it right away. So I waited until I was about 21, and I got into professional wrestling. I did that for about 6 years, and I actually retired back in 2010. And after that, I got into soccer for about 3 years doing co-ed and rep soccer. I did that for 3 years, but I kind of still missed wrestling. You know, I still miss the passion of going to the events and meeting people and stuff like that. So that's what kind of sparked me doing something on wrestling. And I looked on a lot of websites, and there wasn't really much to do with women's wrestling on the indie aspect. So I decided to, you know, get something up for that and get into the magazine because there hasn't been anything that actually was, you know, a print magazine on women's wrestling. There was a magazine called Honor. It's CapturedBeauty.com, but I don't think they do it anymore. They kind of discontinued, I think, back in 2012 or so. So that's why I kind of wanted to, you know, basically jumpstart what they did and continue on.
You know, I don't know if I told you this, Tyler, but, well, first of all, I fell in love with professional wrestling in the mid-80s. Now, I'm a little bit older than you,
uh-huh.
but I also loved that era with Hogan and Savage and the Warrior and all these. And I went in and out of it through my life because of college and then getting married. And just there were times where I loved it and times where I just paid attention on the side. And then
yep.
back in the middle 2000s, I started to get back into it. Started to really, really become a big Beth Phoenix fan. And I don't know if I told you this, but I was one of the head writers for DivaDirt.com for 2 years, and I also was a writer for Honor Magazine. It's funny that you mentioned Honor Magazine. I was a columnist for them for about a year and a half.
Well, that's nice.
So I have a real passion for women's wrestling as well, and I wanted to ask you, when you wanted to get back into this business, because I understand what you're saying, it was in your blood, you loved it, why women's wrestling? Because was it simply because there weren't a lot of websites, magazines, news sites out there? Was that kind of like the niche that you thought you could fill?
Well, at the time when I was browsing the web, you know, browsing Google and trying to find things on women's wrestling, not a lot of websites dedicated to that popped up. There was DivaDirt.com and TheRingBells.com, but there wasn't a lot of other ones. So I wanted to do something a little bit different, you know, because you can have 10, 20, 30 professional wrestling websites, but a lot of them have the same kind of thing, like WWE results, and they all had the same kind of results and everything like that, right? But I wanted something different, and we don't always do things on WWE and stuff like that unless it's in our magazine. We kind of do things that are either local for around where we're based out of, or do something, you know, on an international scene. So I wanted to do something like that, but I've always been a big women's wrestling fan. Ever since Lita, Trish Stratus, Ivory, Jacqueline all debuted in WWE, you know, back in 99, 2000, 2001, it was, you know, they actually put on good shows. I remember when Victoria and Trish Stratus had a main event at a Raw, and, you know, that kind of blew me away because you don't see that type of thing, you know?
That's true.
And I'm actually happy that there are a lot of women's wrestling promotions starting up. You know, you have Shawn, you have Shimmer, you have WSU, you have Femme Fatales out of Montreal, Bellatrix in the UK. You have, you know, probably a good dozen in Japan. You have Pro Wrestling Wave and all that. And we kind of just want to showcase a lot of that stuff that maybe a lot of people don't know about. And so I've always been a women's wrestling fan, because they don't always get noticed. You always see your John Cena's and your Stone Cold's and stuff, but you don't see the other side, you know, of the ring, you know. And I kind of want to showcase something that, and when you say, you know, to the average wrestling fan, women's wrestling, they'll think, you know, basically women that are just out there to do cat fights and this and that. And that's not true. There are good performers. There are great performers out there, but they need to be, you know, basically seen and showcased. And when you show that to an average wrestling fan, they'll be like, wow, you know, I never noticed that. I never seen that. And that's the kind of element we kind of want to put out there. You know, we've had a lot of, you know, girls on our cover that actually had a lot of international coverage. We had like Lufisto and Santana. We had Evie this issue, and we've had Leah Von Dutch and Zandra Bell, Courtney Rush, Mia Yim, Casey Carlisle, the NWA Women's Wrestling Champion. So we want to showcase these kind of stars, and not your Bella Twins from WWE and stuff like that. You know, we want to showcase people that actually have talent and that can go somewhere, right?
When you were talking about your contributors, there's a wide range of interest there. Is it challenging for you to, you know, kind of decide on the content that you want to put in the magazine each month? How do you do that and give the appropriate attention to these other promotions?
I'm kind of lenient towards my contributors and columnists because they all have something different they want to showcase. Michael, one of my editors, he likes to do big features. He did a big feature on October when they had WSU and Shimmer and Femme Fatales and everything, you know, all in one month. So he did a big feature on that. He's done features. He did a feature on Ayumi Kirihara from Japan. So I'm kind of lenient towards them. They tell me what they want to put into it. You know, I give them the okay most of the time, you know, go for it. There's a few times, like, I tell them, you know, don't do a certain superstar because another writer's doing it. So I kind of have to basically lay out a table of what they want to do and, you know, what. But every month I know what they're doing. You know, I know what they're coming from and what they want to showcase. So, you know, I have, you know, Tony that does WWE NXT stuff, so I can give him that and run with it. I have Michael that does a feature on indie and certain stories he wants to implement, you know, and show the wrestling fans what they need to hear or see. You know, on the upcoming the February issue, he's going to be writing a feature on a wrestling union, you know, whether the wrestling industry needs a union and stuff like that, right? So he does that kind of stuff. I have Brian Kelly. He does Missouri Wrestling Revival. So they all bring a different aspect of somewhere around the world where they want to introduce something. And I myself, I usually do the exclusive interviews with the women that I want to put into the upcoming magazines. But it can be hard because I do have a full-time job on top of doing this because I have a full-time job I put either 40 to 60 hours towards, and I have this that I put anywhere 25 to 40 hours towards this as well. So it can be hectic. I usually only get 5 hours sleep. 5 hours sleep a night, right? Something that I love, you know. But it can be hard, kind of putting together the magazine. And usually I don't know how I want to put it together until it's the last minute. Like right now, we have our February issue coming out on the 1st, basically this Saturday, this Sunday. I want to get it out there, but right now, as of this minute, I probably only have a couple pages that are edited right now. So it's something that I like to basically make sure that the magazine's going to be done well, and then I basically devote a good 3-4 days near the end of, basically near the publication, where I basically design, edit, put it all together within 3 or 4 days before going up.
Tyler, this is a real physical magazine, right? Not just is it a web-based version, or is it a real physical magazine?
It's actually a real physical magazine. We do have it available on the web for free where people can read it. It's not downloadable, though, but if they want the digital version, it's 99 cents. The iPod version is usually around $1.39 or $1.99. And then the physical printed magazine is, depending on what kind of content we put in, can range anywhere between $5.49 to $6 a month, because we don't have a subscription based where people can, you know, have a yearly subscription or anything. It's basically kind of like a print on demand kind of thing. So our prices kind of fluctuate depending on what kind of content and pages we have in the magazine. But we've had a good following on who buys it, and we've had people, you know, internationally buy it, anywhere in Canada, United States, over in the UK. So it's only available online and at certain events that we attend to. So because we are a vendor that go to specific wrestling events.
By the way, online, do they pay through PayPal?
No, it's a third party. It's called MegCloud.com. Basically, if you just search Ring Sirens, all our issues will come up. If you go to our website, ringsirens.com, we do have a read and a purchase button, and that can either direct you to reading it on our website or purchasing it through our third party.
You talked about how you do a lot of the exclusive interviews. Who would be your dream interview?
I've always been a big fan of Trish Stratus. That would be basically a dream come true.
That's a good one. And, you know, congratulations again to her on her induction into the WWE Hall of Fame.
Yep.
Certainly, she's made a great mark on the business. You know, you mentioned also that you go to a lot of actual wrestling. What are you saying, like conventions, that kind of thing? Or do you take your magazine to certain wrestling events, like house shows and those types of things?
both, actually. We actually, in October, we actually did three back-to-back weekends. We went to the WSU event in New Jersey. The weekend after that, we went to Chicago for Shimmer. We handed out our magazines at the after party there. And then the week after that, we drove up to Montreal for Femme Fatales, and we were selling our magazines there. And then basically, not this weekend, but next weekend, February 9th, we'll be in Richmond, Michigan for the Extreme Bombshells wrestling show, where Leah Von Dutch will take on Courtney Rush in a 15-foot steel cage match. And then February 22nd, 23rd, we're going to be at the PWA show here in Kitchener as a vendor. And then the day after that, we are at the Kitchener Collectibles Expo.
Do you plan to go down to New Orleans for WrestleMania 30 weekend?
We're kind of planning on it. It also depends on our funds that we have, because that kind of ultimately depends on whether we'll go or not. I'm kind of hoping to. That would be basically a dream to go down there and showcase our magazine at the WrestleCon Expo. So, but it's kind of it's a toss-up, but we'll probably know within a month or whatever, getting close to it, whether we'll be going or not. We are going to another show, hopefully. I have to get back to the promoter, but we'll go to another show March 8th, Conflict Wrestling. That's another show in Kitchener here. And then we are at the Femme Fatales show again back in April. So we are gathering up a lot of shows to go to. It's just basically contacting promoters and you know, sorting things out.
I'll be in New Orleans. Let me know if you're going to go. I'd love to see, I'd like to see the actual magazine, and maybe we could do a follow-on interview or something like that. But just stay in touch on that. Let me know.
Oh, for sure. If you ever want a copy, let me know. I can always send one down.
Now, do you yourself watch WWE? I know that the focus of the magazine is to get, you know, a lot of coverage to the independent women's scene, but what about the Divas product, and what about what WWE showcases each week on television?
We don't necessarily showcase weekly stuff that happens in WWE. We might take one of my columnists, Tony. He usually takes a certain person that he talks about and kind of runs with it. He's talking about Bella Twins in the past.
Tyler, I mean, in general, why do you like or not like the Divas product?
Right now, I'm. It's a toss up. I haven't been a big fan in the last couple of years. I don't like where WWE has been taking their Divas division. I don't think they're serious enough to push them. I don't know why, but they did have a lot of talented wrestlers like Beth Phoenix, Natalya, but we do like. I personally like the NXT show because at least they actually have good, you know, wrestling that you can actually watch from start to end, like, you know, Paige versus Natalya, like back in, December, January. Then she took on Summer Rae. That actually was not too bad a couple weeks ago. So I do like the NXT brand, but I don't know if I like watching it on Raw or SmackDown, unless they kind of promote their, I don't know, it's kind of a toss-up for me. It's just because I've seen what, you know, Lita and Trish Stratus and those went through back in the, you know, 2000s, and then you kind of have crap right now with, you know, the Bella Twins and stuff like that. Now, I will give kudos to their match that they had against Alicia Fox and Oksana on Main Event. That was actually a good match, you know, and they have been improving. The Bella Twins have been improving, but I don't like how they kind of shy away from people that actually had legit training in the past, you know, and then they're not showcasing a lot of that stuff, you know. It's kind of a toss up. I don't know. I would like to, you know, promote it more, but I think where our spotlight is on indie wrestling, and if they get to WWE or TNA or anywhere, then, you know, great, because that's where the money is. But we want to showcase, you know, the independent scene, because that's what wrestling fans need to know about before WWE.
This past year, cheerleader Melissa was number one on the annual PWI rankings for female wrestlers, number one in the world. Congratulations again to her. How familiar are you with cheerleader Melissa, and what do you think of her?
I am very familiar. I remember back in the 2000s when she started out, when she first started out with APW in California, and just made it, went big with it. I haven't. I've seen her at the Femme Fatale show in Montreal and at the Shimmer shows, and she's a great wrestler. She knows how to wrestle, and she can wrestle anybody. And she has some great technical wrestling and submissions that, you know, a lot of nowadays, you know, like you'll see in WWE, you don't see a lot of that stuff. But when you see cheerleader Melissa, she brings it all. You know, she can brawl, she can chain wrestle, she can technical wrestle, she has a little bit of aerial and everything. But I have been following her since she started out, and that's great that she's, you know, made it to the PWI rankings, and because she deserves it. You know, people like that need to be showcased more. And hopefully we can get her on the cover of Ring Sirens magazine sometime soon.
I think it's interesting that you and I have a lot of fond memories of wrestling in the 80s. And I wanted to ask you about Miss Elizabeth, because to me, I don't know if a woman will ever eclipse her popularity at the time, though today's wrestling fan may not understand that, because she didn't wrestle at all, right? She didn't actually get involved physically in the matches, hardly ever. What was it about Miss Elizabeth that made her so memorable?
I think back then it was just because she was somebody that you wanted to basically like or love, you know? It's somebody that was, you know, kind of, you see her face and she just, you know, she seemed to sparkle. And it was somebody that you wanted to basically devote your, not your life into, but, you know, it was just somebody, if she got hurt, you'd be like, what happened to her? And you, if social media was back then, you'd be Twittering, you know, get well or do this or do that, you know? So she
right.
had
yeah,
that.
That's very true. Yeah.
You know, so she had that element that, you know, to for her to, you know, not, like I said, not necessarily be loved, but liked, you know. And she was that woman that you wanted to either marry or be a girlfriend with, you know. You look at Macho Man Randy Savage, right? It was always by his side, and when he kind of feuded with Hulk Hogan, and she was in the middle and basically didn't know who to side with, that kind of thing. But I do remember back in the 80s, I was not always a Miss Elizabeth fan, but I did like her style of managing and being a valet. And it's sad that she passed away. The same with Macho Man. I'm sad that he left, you know, our lives early. And what happened to him. But, you know, those type of valets need to, you know, kind of come back. You know, the women's wrestling, you don't necessarily have to be a wrestler. You can also be a good manager. Look at, like, you know, Sherry Martel. She was kind of both, but, you know, she did well at wrestling and she did well at being a manager. And I think that aspect kind of has been lost in today's wrestling, because you don't see a lot of managers, and you like Paul Bearer, you know, he was a great manager, and you need that kind of thing in women's wrestling, especially if you're a heel or something, or even a face. Being a manager, you know, that kind of it puts an additional aspect onto a wrestler and makes you want, you know, follow them even more.
That's absolutely true. What are your memories of the Glow Girls? Because the Glow Girls have had a resurgence lately. They had a documentary that was out recently and really were the impetus, the harboring of today's WWE Divas product. And we talked a little bit about that you're not crazy about that product, but the Glow Girls in history are an important group.
They are. I personally haven't really followed them to the point where I should, but I do. I have seen matches and know what they are about, and it's something that I think I should devote more time to and actually, you know, see more of the documentary and the matches. But, you know, I remember back in the 2000 when World of Women's Wrestling, when they had a show, and, you know, and that actually came back, last year, 2013, wow. That kind of is a spin-off of Glow, but I personally haven't seen a lot of that in the past, but it's something I want to, you know, check out more.
You mentioned Mae Young a little while ago. Sadly, of course, she did just pass away. Why do you think she stayed popular all these years?
That's a hard one. I think it's because she didn't care. I kind of make her as a Stone Cold of women's wrestling, you know, because she kind of, you know, she didn't care what she did. She could go out there and she doesn't care what she does or how she does it. And I think because of the comedy aspect of how she does it, you know, stuff like she's done with stuff like Mark Henry in the past, and when she had those, you know, one-off matches with the Divas. I remember Fabulous Moolah and Mae Young when she took on Tori Wilson and Dawn Marie back in the 2000s. And, you know, when you see an elderly lady like that, you kind of, I don't know, I kind of, go her, you know, go Mae Young, you know, kick the shit out of, you know, the certain divas or whatever, right? So you kind of want to be a fan of, you know, of wrestlers like that. And Mae Young has been a huge popularity, you know, ever since she started back in the, you know, 50s, 60s, 70s and on, you know. And she trained a lot of wrestlers too, male wrestlers, female wrestlers. And, you know, she knows how the wrestling industry works and what you have to do to get over. And she brought that to the wrestling industry, into the WWE. And there's a lot of aspects that why she was popular and why she was loved too. So
I saw recently that Santana Garrett just signed with TNA. I do a little ring announcing on the side. I had the pleasure of ring announcing one of her matches not too long ago, and seems like a tremendous talent. Do you think she's going to be successful in TNA? And do you think that the TNA Knockouts can ever, you know, become a more celebrated product than the Divas? Is that even possible because of the TV coverage that the WWE receives?
I believe that Santana will be popular. She is popular, and I think she will have great success in TNA. It also depends on whether TNA wants her to have success, because we've wanted to follow certain female wrestlers, but they've never had that, basically that jump to basically be big. You know, look at the men's wrestlers in TNA when Ken, you know, Mr. Anderson, Ken Anderson, when he went to TNA, he went there, he was champion, and then basically he kind of just fell off, you know. He hasn't really done much other than being in the Aces of Eights. So it also depends on the TNA management, on whether the direction where they want to go with their women's wrestling and who they want to push. If they push Santana, then she can be the greatest, the most popular, and most successful star, and she already is, you know, that it would even be 200 times, you know, better than what it is now. but it all depends on the management. Santana Garrett is a great person. You know, even I've met her at the Shimmer after party, and she's so down to earth and bubbly and everything. So I'm just hoping that, you know, certain superstars, when they go to TNA, that they get what they want to deserve, you know, because that's kind of why we don't showcase a lot of TNA stuff, WWE. It's just that it all depends on where they want to go, you know, and WWE, you know, it just hasn't been the same back in the 2000s. So, you know, it's just it's an iffy topic. Ring Sirens TV, it's going to be hopefully it debuts in the next month or two. We're planning for a spring launch. Basically, it will be, we're going to showcase full-length matches of indie women's wrestlers. We're going to showcase promos. We're in development of getting a couple TV shows up and running, whether it's going to be on location or in the studio. We're hoping that we have like a indie news show on the latest happenings. Hopefully we get like a Joshi hour where we can showcase, you know, a couple Japanese women's wrestling, you know, per week or per month. Basically, it's everything and anything that can do with women's wrestling on an indie level. And we're hoping for a spring launch. It will only be on the web. It won't be on cable TV or anything like that. But we are also planning that when it is launched, that we can get it on Roku, too.
Tyler, you have a lot going on right now with Ring Sirens. Are you looking for additional staff members or contributors?
All the time, whether it's posting news on the website or on in our magazine, or even doing a show on Ring Sirens TV, because we're also looking for staff members to have their own shows on our TV. So yeah, anybody that can approach us and that can help in any way is awesome. I have RF Video helping us out with exclusive matches that we'll be posting on our website and in our magazine and stuff like that, you know, and on our Ring Sirens TV. So we have them helping out. Missouri Wrestling Revival, we have them, and Northstars.ca. And so, yeah, we have a bunch of people that help out, and we're looking for as much as possible. We're actually looking for sponsorship, too, for our magazine so that we can have a little bit more additional funds come in and help us out, so that we can actually, hopefully, get our magazines on magazine shelves sometime soon.
Outstanding. I know ringsirens.com, a place people can go to see your web content, to order the magazine. Also, you said there's an online version of the magazine and soon a TV show. Where else can people find you on social media? Do you have Twitter or Facebook?
Yeah, we have Twitter and Facebook. Twitter.com /ringsirens. Same with Facebook, facebook.com/ringsirens. We're on YouTube. We just uploaded a match from January from a PWA show and a couple post-match interviews of local girls. They can find us at youtube.com/ringsirenscom for com.com.
Okay, I will make sure to post all that information with the interview. And I believe this is going to be your one-year anniversary coming up in April, is that right?
That is correct. So, in April, we'll have our one-year anniversary, and in June, we'll have our one-year anniversary for our magazine, since our February issue will be our ninth issue.
Well, that's excellent. I really want to thank you for joining me today on OWW Radio. Congratulations on all of what's going on with Ring Sirens. It's very exciting with the magazine, the website, the TV show. Best of luck to you, Tyler, and let's do this again soon.
Awesome. Thank you very much for having me on your show.
You got it. Take care.
Thank you.
Till next time, I am David. Thanks again to Tyler Prattis of Ring Sirens Magazine for an entertaining interview. head on over to ringsirens.com to check out everything going on with Ring Sirens, including television show, their magazine, and their website content. We hope you enjoyed the program, and we'll be back soon with another edition of OWW Radio.